guy like you. That I would love everything that you do.
Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. Thank you for tuning in. Hey, if you want to hear The Skinny again, that great new public affairs show, you can always go online to WMNF.org and get that going. Look at the schedule and it'll take you back to it. You can listen to public affairs shows forever or 2 years. My name is Joellen Schilke. I am the hostess who loves you absolutely the most. I'm so excited that you are out there listening. If you want to get in touch, please send an email to dj@wmnf.org, or you can send us a text at 813-433-0885. Coming up in just a few minutes, such a cool interview set up for you. We're going to be speaking with Corinne Zepeda. She is one of the artists down at the Ringling Museum for Reclaiming Home. It is their first show of contemporary seminal artists, and it's probably one of the biggest gatherings of contemporary Seminole artists in the state of Florida, outside of the Seminole Art Museum. And it is very exciting to see. It's an exciting show, and her work is so good. So we're going to be chatting with her in a few minutes. Also, we're playing a lot of Beatles music on WMNF this weekend because we have a great Beatles tribute tomorrow night at Skipper's. And I don't even know, it's their 60th anniversary of their first album. And so there's a ton of bands playing. It's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun. The weather's going to be perfect. If you're looking for a fabulous thing to do this weekend, definitely think about going to the Beatles tribute up at Skipper's. You can go online to WMNF.org to get that information. All right, I'm going to put on some more music. Next is my absolutely favorite ever Beatles cover, and then a really fun Beatles cover, and then some more other stuff, and be back too in just a couple minutes with Corinne. Thank you for being out there. Thank you for listening to WMNF. Thanks for listening to Art in Your Ear. Stay tuned, you guys, y'all. Right? You ready? Okay. Right, enough Beatles for now. Well, no, there's never enough Beatles for some lovely people. I am super excited to welcome in the studio. I want to make sure I have you on the right microphone. Corinne Cepeda, did I do that? Are you on the right mic?
Correct.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming in to Art in Your Ear to WMNF. You live locally, right?
Correct. I live in Apollo Beach.
And, so that's perfect because you had to go down to the Ringling a lot.
Yeah, on 41. It took me like 45 minutes each drive.
So you're here because there is a show that opened up last week at the Ringling Museum called Reclaiming Home. And it's a focus on contemporary Seminole-related, I want to say Muskogee, but I can't say that.
Muskogee,
thank you. Yes. I knew I was going to mess that pronunciation up. Artists, and in Florida, there has been some shows about Indigenous and Seminole artists' work, but they're always sort of a historic view.
Yeah.
But this isn't. This is, I mean, there are some older pieces in it, but it's not a historic view. It is contemporary art. Is this something that you have... that you've participated in other parts of the state or other parts of the country as an artist?
Yeah, so I was included in the History Fort Lauderdale. This year, the theme was Igniting a Fire Within. So I was happy to participate in
That's
that
a great
because that
theme.
Is something that I can definitely relate to. but yeah, so History Fort Lauderdale for the past, I think, like 8 years has done a smaller Indigenous... modern-esque art. So that could include older things, newer things, whatever people had that year to be able to include. Right. And then this year was the Ringling.
And also you participated in Art Basel.
So the History Fort Lauderdale's show is a cultural partner for Art Basel.
Right.
So we were lucky enough to be able to have their donors bust to History Fort Lauderdale to be able to view our work.
Is there, as a young woman, as a Indigenous artist, as a Florida artist, are there certain things that you are, because I want to talk about your specifics about your work, but overall, are there certain things that you want to sort of like communicate or transfer, you know, ideas and stuff that you want to do with your work that you are like, this is really important to me?
Yeah, I grew up in a household where I was told to follow my heart and to stand up for what I believe in. So that's very much shown through my art. And I think I use my art as a vessel of education. I always tell people that I think the most important thing in art is education. And whether that be educating people on the different social issues, or whether that's educating people on my culture. I think I tried my best to show that through my work.
I would say, you know, because it was interesting to walk into the exhibit, and there are several rooms in the exhibit, and so much to talk about, but the first thing you see when you walk into the room where your work is that there's a case, and it has a denim jacket mm-hmm. that you've embroidered and done more to, and then also a mask.
Yes.
And I thought, yeah, that is pretty 2020, 2020s, you know, like
yeah,
that is the
sure.
epicenter 2020s. So I can see that. And then you have this other work, and it's so interesting because your bead work and your sort of 3D work is very colorful and has a lot going on. Your paintings are colorful, but they're very sort of, they're very flat mm-hmm. and have a very sort of, I don't want to say flat affect, but they're sort of, they're, the background is monochrome.
Yeah.
They're very presented. And so even though they're both colorful, there's a difference in sort of the energy in the
yes.
different things. Will you talk a little bit about your work and what you're doing, like when you're painting, where
yeah.
your brain is when you're painting, and if it's the same or different when you're doing other work with your hands.
Yeah, so all of my, like, quote-unquote paintings, they're actually digital works that they've taken and printed onto canvas. So I do everything on an iPad. I use Illustrator and Procreate to create all of my images. And all of the images of humans are actually family members. So family is definitely a big inspiration for me. And I get a lot of questions about that. my dad is actually the giant, like, 20-foot mural when you first walk in on the left-hand side. So that was pretty fun to see. But then the rest of my work is kind of just whatever I'm feeling. Honestly, the two works that you mentioned that are when you walk in on the right-hand side of the exhibit, those were pandemic works. I started the one...
The jacket or the mask or the other ones?
The ones on the wall were over the past 3 years. I kind of just did those for fun. Honestly, they bring me a lot of peace. And I think during the pandemic, I really needed that, not being able to see friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
But then all the rest of the works, like the little Band-Aid, that's called For Your Trauma. And that was my response to, like, okay, we're in the pandemic and we have all these problems and we're not finding any solutions, but we're, like, putting Band-Aids on problems that need stitches and gauze and, like, mm-hmm. trips to the hospital, you know? And that was kind of just, like, okay, this is what we're doing. We're fixing, like, minor problems when we need to be fixing the major problems. And then the face mask just came out of frustration, I think. It was during the Black Lives Matter movement, and it has the black fist and then the red palm, which is the symbol for missing and murdered Indigenous women, mm-hmm. girls, and Two-Spirit. And I think that we can relate to one another, those social and political issues. We both face very similar challenges. And then it was during the pandemic when everybody was still having to wear masks to do their marches. So I thought that was a great piece mm-hmm. to kind of symbolize what was going on at the time.
I want that mask. But I want to wear it because it felt
yes.
it felt very fierce.
Yeah, and that's kind of who I am. I am a not a fierce person, but I definitely...
Be a fierce person. Maybe you are a fierce person.
I wouldn't call myself a fierce person. Others may. but definitely, I feel like all of my work is very me. Mm-hmm. It is who I am.
Is there... Did you grow up in Apollo Beach, or where did you grow up?
No, I grew up in Naples, Florida, mm-hmm. Where all of my most of my family resides. And there I grew up with my mom and my dad's, like, whole side of their family.
Oh, that's
so
great.
It was
that's
great.
Very
yeah,
rich.
For sure. So when I talk about family, it's really important to me. Family is probably one of the most important things. And just growing up with surrounded by all of my family.
And
was
your dad is an artist.
Correct.
In the show. Your
yes.
uncle is in the show.
Correct.
Your brother?
No. My cousin Jessica.
Cousin.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Jessica Osceola.
Yes.
And we were talking before the show how a lot of the Indigenous, especially Seminole names, are similar. You know, people have the same last name and you're not necessarily related. But in having such a strong family orientation, it was really cool to like realize, oh, these are people that spent, certainly you've spent your life with these other people. So to go back through the exhibition after going through it once and sort of look at, you know, the relationship, and then your dad and your work are displayed
next to each other.
And his, God, his stuff. Oh my God.
Oh so yeah, beautiful. For sure. So background, just a little background. My cousin Jessica, she has her MFA in fine arts, a master's in fine arts, I believe with a focus in ceramics. Then my uncle Pedro also has a Bachelor of Arts. And then my dad and I, we don't have any degrees, but obviously I grew up, my uncle's only 14 years older than me. When he would come home from college, he would teach me all kinds of different forms of art. And same thing with my cousin Jessica. I could always go to her if I had questions or needed answers. And then my dad, obviously, I would watch him do everything as a kid. Mm-hmm. And so I think I kind of just absorbed all of that like a little sponge. And my mom would we would go on like trips and my mom would take us to art museums.
And I just want to mention to listeners, just to sort of show what's going on, is one of Jessica's pieces was the first piece,
yes,
acquired by the Ringling. Yeah. You know, and that's the first piece of, is it, am I right in saying it's the first piece of contemporary indigenous Seminole art?
Yeah.
So that, and it's a really,
it's a big accomplishment.
Yeah. So that's pretty exciting. So dear listener, you're hearing, speaking with, Corinne Cepeda, oh my gosh, I'm really bad at names, about the Reclaiming Home show and her work. I will say, it's easiest to find your stuff on Instagram. You've got two different Instagrams. Yeah. Which one is the best one for people?
For people to view my art, I would say my Queen's Creations. If you want to get to know me better as a person, then my personal Instagram.
The Queen Cream.
Yeah.
So it is, I'm going to spell it out. So it's CORINNZ. And then creation with a Z at the end. It's very helpful to have a Z in your name.
Yeah,
you can just brand yourself with that.
Yeah.
So you're largely self-taught. Mm-hmm. In a way, your family taught, your community taught.
No formal.
Yeah. But definitely, are there, when you are working, I mean, what is your practice like? Do you set up like every day at this time or I mean, because everybody has a different practice. So what do you do?
My boyfriend would call me a workaholic. he has to frequently remind me that I need to like eat sometimes. But no, I have a office/studio in my house. We've converted what's supposed to be like a formal dining room into my creative space, which is really nice. And there I do everything. I do all my sewing, beading, mixed media, anything. But yeah, if I start a piece, I kind of am on the warpath, as to say, I need to finish it. And I get that from my dad. I think my dad is the same. and I watched him do that as a kid. So I think that's probably where that habit came from. But yeah, no, I would, I'll start a piece, especially if it's a digital piece, I'll need to finish it like within 24 hours.
Do you go back and be like, oh, wait, I want to do this? Like, is it when they're done?
No, not at all. I think, especially if you go and you see the exhibit and you see my jacket, just know that I did something to that 2 weeks before it was supposed to be turned in after it had been sitting for like 2 months, finished. I kind of looked at the piece and I was like, something's missing.
Right, yeah.
And I called my best friend and she's getting her master's in props design. Everybody's an artist who I know.
Right. That's a nice way to do it.
Yeah. I called her and I was like, hey, is it crazy if I just start like burning holes in this jacket? And she goes, no, just do it. And I was like, okay, sure. So if you see all the little charred bits and pieces, that came out of like, didn't look finished. But then once I finished it, I was like, that's it. That's what I needed to be finished.
I had a period, and I am not an artist.
Yeah.
I'm so lucky that I get to talk to people. But I make a lot of stuff to sort of work through problems in my head. You know, like making something with my hand helps me figure out something in my brain, which I think is common.
Yeah.
But I went through a long time where I would take incense and light it and burn paper and burn patterns into things. And it's really satisfying to burn something.
It is. Especially if you're frustrated.
Right. Like, burn. I mean, not buildings or people, everybody.
Yes,
just
no.
Fabric. So now in this show, do you know most or all the artists in
the
show?
Yeah. So all of the Florida-based artists, I know or am related to. But then we actually got to meet all of our Muscogee Creek or Seminole Nation kin, who,
right.
I don't know if you're familiar with any Florida history or Seminole history. During the Trail of Tears, we were split up pretty much. Mm-hmm. A group of Oklahoma, well, who we now call Oklahoma Seminoles, they were either forced to leave or chose to leave on their own, which was obviously a hard decision considering all of their family was from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to meet all of the Oklahoma artists, which was really nice. And it was just like they were family and we had been family the whole time. It's mm-hmm. kind of funny how that happens.
Yeah. And that is, it'd be nice to see. I was reading some posts in social media that people have put up around it. And there was sort of like, oh, now we need to bring the show to Oklahoma. So
yeah,
everybody
I
there.
Heard that. Yeah.
So that would be great.
I think we got a lot of people who were coming to the show who were like Native American art enthusiasts, which was really nice. So they definitely had a deeper understanding and appreciation for the work. And they were like, yeah, we should bring this here. We should bring this there. So it would be interesting to see where that
is. Is there something with that that you feel like, do you feel that there's expectations on you as a Native American, as an Indigenous artist, that you need to represent things in a certain way or do certain things? Is there any pressure or self-applied pressure?
I think for me, my thing is like best representing our culture is just my art. I think it's hard for you to represent the culture as a whole because there's so many different ways that you could go or paths that you could take to represent our people, we do so many different things. I mean, there was only 12 people represented in this show, and you probably could have had at least, 400 who are, on the level of being able to have things in an institution such as the Ringling. So I know that was a really difficult decision for our curator to make. What my biggest thing would be and my advice to everyone is just look up your local Indigenous art. That's probably the best way to get to know the people as a whole.
I haven't been to a powwow. A friend of mine used to go to powwows and I went a couple of times. So I haven't been to a powwow in 15 years. But at powwows, one, I think that they've started up again after
our tribe just had their first in 3 years. So that was a lot of fun. I've been there.
And I follow way too many... not way too many, but I found a lot of Indigenous artists on TikTok, musical artists and visual, dance and arts. Are there visual arts that are always part of powwows or other gatherings? Because I don't remember ever seeing like a little gallery, tents or anything like that.
My tribe does a really good job of we hold tribal fair. It's like either the first or second February or week of February every year. Mm-hmm. But during the pandemic, we didn't have it. They actually do just for the Seminole people. They do a fine arts contest. And then they also do like an arts and crafts contest. So we actually open those up for the public to see, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. So the public can like walk into these like mock gallery spaces and then just look at some of the talent that we have. And then on top of that, we also had a lot of vendors. So our vendors, even like Wilson Bowers was selling some of the skateboards that he makes, which was awesome.
Those skateboards, man. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. But yeah, for sure. I think it's becoming more common now to do a quote unquote fine arts space inside of these different gatherings.
Right. And that's what is so interesting, too, because one of the things I really appreciated about the show, and I want to talk about your work, but I do want to make sure we talk a little bit about the show, is that there was a photographic collage.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of paintings. There's I had mentioned that there's this arbor in the middle mm-hmm. of one of the galleries that I was just blown away by and loved so much because when I took pictures of it, it's very tan with a mm-hmm. geometric things, but in all of the pictures, it came out glowing red. And I was like, how did they do that?
Yeah.
Just amazing. And there's also... oh shoot, and I forget the name of the artist. I'm trying to look on my phone real quickly so I have everything written down. But there was one of the artists had very sort of flat depictions of different women that have herself. Yeah. You know,
that's Alyssa.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting because it was very easy to sort of look and say, oh, this is, you know, this belongs within sort of the school or the tradition of this type of art and stuff, but it doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
Relationships to art traditions over the last century that you can see, but definitely has a spin on it that sort of separates it just a little bit in a very good way and elevates it a little bit to have, or to me, it seemed to have a little bit more meaning sometimes than when you see it, because these were unknown people to the majority of non-native people, whereas they might be always like in the eyes and heart of people who are, you know, of native people.
Yeah.
When you were walking through, were there surprises for you in the gallery? Like when you first went to see it, were there things that you were like, oh wow, I never saw this before, or anything that you were like blown away by?
What happens is you're given a date and you're told all your work has to be to the museum by this date.
Right.
And then you're given another date and they say, hey, if you want, we're going to install your works on this day. So I actually installed on, I think it was like the first or second week of February. And when I went in, only half of the work was up. I know my giant mural was on the wall. I know a couple of Wilson's murals were also on the wall. My dad's work was in, and some of my cousin Jessica's work was in. Other than that, nothing else was on the wall.
Oh, right.
So I was actually one of the first artists to install. So when I walked in, it was like seeing everything all over again. I hadn't seen most of the pieces that were in there. I think each one of us definitely has a unique, I don't know what the word to use is. we definitely all are unique. That's
right.
You know, full stop. But we all do something different. Or if we do something that's the same, it definitely does not look the same. So you're definitely seeing each person through their work, which is really nice.
And it's really cool because there's a poem up painted on the walls, which is great.
Yes.
There's video art. There's a couple of pieces of video art. There is an amazing installation about food and diabetes amongst the Indian native populations. And that was kind of mind-blowing. It was really interesting talking to the guard about it. He had a lot to say about it and was just really fascinated. And this guard, who is an lovely older white gentleman, was saying, I have learned so much.
Yeah, we got that from quite a lot of the staff. A lot of the staff were really excited because they're like, this is an exhibit, you know, that we've never seen anything like in here. So they were very excited. And I got to chat with quite a few of them. Well,
and there's sort of a more down the other side of the hall, you know, like inside that contemporary art ghetto of the museum. There is another exhibit there of donations of sort of mid-century abstract donations. And the guard, it was so funny because like I was walking from one to the other and the guard was like, what did you think of the show? You know, like right when I walked in, he knew I walked out of the Reclaiming Home and he wanted to talk about the show. And he wasn't even a guard in it.
I love that though. I love that this is sparking conversations around Native and Indigenous art and that people are learning from it.
Is there something you would like to see happen more or differently in the state of Florida in the art scene? I mean, we're local. Tampa does not have a ton of stuff that they do.
They do not. Last year, there was an art gallery here who featured quote unquote Native art for the month of November, which is Indigenous Peoples Month, and didn't feature a single Native artist. And I won't put them out and name their name. But I did contact them and I was like, hey, like, what is with this? And they were like, well, we put out the thing. And I was like, put out like our call to artists. And I was like, well, did you even bother like contacting any of the Native artists from the area? Because there's quite a few.
Right. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to butcher the name. Yeah. There's a museum.
The James.
No, not the James.
Atatagi.
Thank you. Say it again.
Atatagi.
Atatagi Museum.
A place to learn, a place to remember.
which you would think would be like the obvious organization
place
to contact
to ask. Because especially if you're going to ask for Tampa locals, they definitely could provide you with a list of Tampa locals.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, hey, what the heck? Like, what's going on? And they were like, well, we put it out there. And I was like, okay, I'm seeing this and it's December.
Right, right. Mm, good job.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned the James Museum.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my boyfriend and I went and I thought it's gorgeous. I mean, it's beautiful. It's curated well. Their section of Native art made by Natives is like smaller than a closet in my house. So that's a little problematic. But I think all it takes is like people asking questions like, hey, how do we navigate this channel of Native art? And there's definitely people who are willing to be... what's the word I'm looking for? to help and to teach and to be that person when you need to call somebody and say,
and that
hey.
Might be, you know, like the gift shop does have some Native artists work in it, but mm-hmm. I don't know if they have Florida Native artists work in there.
No, and I know the James Museum is supposed to be Western Native Americans, which is typical of what you think when you think of Native Americans. I think a lot of people think of Western Native Americans, and I love our Western relatives. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely glad that we're getting a light on our Southeastern Native Americans, isn't common.
No, I do want to highlight something that that I appreciate about the James Museum, because they are their traveling shows, when they curate those, I think they are really trying to have like a very socially conscious stuff. And they had a really cool show about the schools,
residential
schools and stuff like that. So I do think that there is sort of like a internally.
Yeah, I definitely think that they're trying.
They're trying.
That was very prominent when we went, but I was still a little like,
oh yeah,
come on.
Come on.
I know. I'm like, it's 2023, guys. Come on now.
So many years ago, I worked for what was called then Florida Craftsman. Now it's called Florida Craft Art.
Okay.
And we had done a show at the time, and I'm talking maybe even before you were born. This is many years ago. I'm ancient. And we did a show of all the members who were Native members. So it wasn't mm-hmm. strictly Seminole, mm-hmm. but it was everyone who was a was a Florida artist and was it. And I remember when I was working there, I was the education person there, and people coming up and they're like, and there'd be just sort of something that didn't scream, hi, I'm Indigenous.
Yeah.
It was beautiful craft and beautiful art. And mm-hmm. they're like, is this really? And I was like, yeah, there's not actually a requirement that people do certain color combinations
or subjects
and stuff.
Yeah.
Is that a pressure that you feel? I do want to go back to that.
No, because I think that when I'm doing art, it's for me. Mm-hmm. My dad always likes to say that he makes art for himself, and if other people like it, great. And if they don't, oh well, because it's not for them. And I've kind of adapted that
I like your dad.
Motto as well. Yeah.
I think we should do, I'm going to say, come back in November and do a father-daughter
thing. Hey, Dad, I know you're listening.
I know, we should do a father-daughter thing. Wouldn't that be fun? Bring your family in.
Fun fact is, I think we're also the first father-daughter combo to be featured in the same exhibit at Ringling. So that's fun.
That is pretty cool. That's wonderful.
But yeah, no, I think that my art is what I want it to be. So like I have a series of cacti paintings that I've done and kind of gifted to family members at one point or another, that has absolutely nothing to do with being Native. Mm-hmm. It's just, I love cactus. so it was, you know, I just think I create what I want to create and people like it or they don't.
Right.
And I just know at the end of the day that I like it. So mm-hmm. that's, you know.
So when you're, I'm going to veer just a little bit into your, like the stuff that you make that's more craft to sell rather than the visual arts. What do you make?
So I make a lot of different things. I make t-shirts that have my art on them, which I'm currently wearing now. Joellen can see in the studio. and then I also do beadwork. I sell my beadwork and then I sell prints of my art. So what I try to do is have it be accessible to everybody. I know big issues within communities sometimes are accessibility. I ship to literally everywhere. I've mm-hmm. shipped to Canada. I've shipped to Hawaii, Alaska, you know, all over the United States. And that's just one of the things that, like, I think that you as a consumer or you as a person who is interested in Native arts, crafts, jewelry, whatever, should be able to browse on my website and see, oh, hey, this is only $25. Perfect. That's easy for me to buy. Mm-hmm. I can afford the $25 because I know sometimes people will outrageously price items and then you're like, oh, I don't think I can spend $200. But no, there's something for everybody. And I think being able to have access to that is really important.
Is there, you know, just in different I think, let me just ask you. Sometimes I'm not sure if it's okay for me to wear something that that is inspired by someone else's own culture.
Yeah. There's definitely a fine line. And I know I am in the minority when I make this statement. I don't care. I would rather you be able to have it and learn from it and be able to tell people, oh yes, I bought this from an indigenous artist. This was made by an indigenous artist. And now I get to wear her jewelry around or whatever it may be, jewelry, shirts, whatever. But then that's also like a tool of education because somebody is going to see my logo on the front of your shirt and go, oh, let me look up more indigenous artists or let's see who Karine Zepeda is from Karine's Creations.
Right.
I know there's certain people who feel like, like non-indigenous people shouldn't wear XYZ, but then they just won't sell that. So it's quite easy to navigate. Like if somebody is selling something, they will let you know. Just ask. They won't be offended by
and
that.
I think there's some people that sort of look get costumey about it.
Yeah.
And that's when it feels like maybe they're trying to be respectful, but it feels a little weird.
Yeah, I definitely think that there are ways to wear indigenous art in a respectful way.
Right.
Like I know a lot of non-indigenous people who wear my shirts all the time.
Well, I would totally wear your necklace and earrings right now, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's art. Even our like more quote unquote crafty things are still art. Mm-hmm. It took somebody a lot of time to make that piece for you. And I think that in and of itself should just allow you to do what you want and wear what you want.
So I have another, and thank you for answering that because it's something that I've thought about a lot. Mm-hmm. And I have another kind of off the weirdo question. I welcome to Art in Your, where I ask you weirdo questions. And I want to talk a little bit about muscle memory in your hands. So because I've noticed with a lot of arts, especially artists that do, like you do very fine, mm-hmm. petite work.
Yes.
And so do your hands kind of do their thing sometimes when your brain is doing something else?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And this comes with being an artist. I get burnout a lot. And that's from...
Life
in general, I think. But also like... just I will push myself sometimes to places where I shouldn't push myself. And then I've had points where like I can't even straighten my hands out all the way because my hands hurt so bad from just hours and hours and hours and hours of beating.
Right.
And I will definitely say that like I will find myself like always like when I'm pulling my needle through, and I know everybody who's listening can't see, but Joellen can. I use my pinky to grip the thread and pull it, and I'll find myself going like this in the middle of the day sometimes. And it's just one of those like muscle memory, this is what I'm used to things. Definitely my body takes a toll on it. And you might not see that when you look
but
at it.
But it also sounds like your body knows what it's doing as well.
Yeah, it for sure has learned this is what you need to be doing and this is how you do it.
So is there anything coming up that you've got coming up you want to make sure people know about?
As of right now, I would just tell everybody to go check out the exhibit at Ringling. I have... I have quite a few people who have asked me to join their exhibits after viewing the Ringling, which is very nice. But nothing has been set in stone thus far. So
what's kind of your dream to be able to do?
The Smithsonian. It sounds kind of crazy.
Seriously, that does not sound crazy at all. That sounds fantastic.
Hey, Smithsonian, you're listening.
Hey, Smithsonian. You know what? Lonnie and I follow each other on Twitter. Yeah. I will totally tweet at him.
Definitely something on that scale. I think the Ringling is it's an incredible institution. If you haven't been, the campus is like almost a full day like experience.
Right. I walked around. Yeah. It was really nice to go to the show. I walked around the rest of the museum, but then going through the grounds and looking at the turtles.
Oh,
there's a bunch
of
turtles.
Yes. It's beautiful.
And
gorgeous.
It was really nice, very peaceful.
I kind of joked with my boyfriend. I was like, where do I go from here? Because like you're looking at the ring and you're like, wow, this is amazing.
It's pretty premier.
So I'm definitely open to any ideas.
Right. And one last question, then I will let you be free from me. Because you do a lot of different things. You create the images on your, on your iPad and mm-hmm. it goes different ways. Is there something that you don't know how to do yet that you're really interested in learning?
Yeah. My dad's work. He makes bandolier bags.
Oh my God.
So currently there's only, I think there's like five or six people in like the United States who know how to make them like traditionally. And he's been teaching me, because there's like certain rules to what you can and cannot do while you're beating, and like what you can and cannot do as far as like things that go on the bag and in the bag and whatever. So I'm learning, but definitely it's like a whole, like my dad was like, yeah, you need to plan like a week,
right?
A week to come and learn everything.
Oh,
so
that sounds fun.
Definitely have to carve out the time for that. But learning bandolier bags would be amazing. It's just one of those like very time consuming things.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Corinne Cepeda. Thank you so much
for having me.
For coming into Art in Your Ear again. I should probably give out the information. Reclaiming Home is at the Ringling Museum. Here we go. Reclaiming Home is at the museum until September 4th.
Yeah.
So not only do you get to go a bunch of times.
Yeah.
There's 12 artists in there. It's very interesting. It's sort of broken up, not necessarily chronologically, but in a way there's an emotional, like each room has a different emotional impact on it.
Very... I know I cried a lot during
it's very, very powerful. And there's some work in there that, of course, there's familiar names, or if you follow the local artist scene, but there's just some work in there that's just completely outstanding. And then I want to mention, of course, that the Ringling Museum is located at 5401 Bayshore Road in Sarasota. And you can go online. It's very simple. You just go to ringling.org and it's easy to get information from that. You can follow Corinne at her Instagram, and it's Corinne's Creations. And if I don't have that link up on the Art in Your Ear page on WMNF.org or at our social media, I think I do, but if I don't, it will be up shortly after the show.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mado.
Oh my God. Say it again.
Mado.
Mado.
Yeah.
What's the proper response when
Mado is just Mado. Thank you, or there's Shanabit Shah, which also means thank you.
However I can say it is absolutely my pleasure. I came out ahead.
Thank you.
We can do that. So I'll be back, and then we have a special guest coming in just a minute. Meanwhile, I am going to play my favorite Beatles song. I love this song so much. For our Beatles tribute on tomorrow night, go ahead and go to WMNF.org if you want some more information here on WMNF Art in Your Ear. There we go.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black. Waiting for this moment to arise. You are only waiting for this moment to arise. You are only waiting for this moment to arise.
Oh, such a pretty song. Hey, I want to let you know a couple other things going on around town. There's a poetry open mic coming up at Studio at 620 on the 29th. Next week, poetry open mic. And that's Studio 620. They have a lot of stuff going on at 620, so you can find that out. And then actually, here, I'm going to put some music on. Be right back. Something fun going on here. I hope it's fun. It's going to be fun. In the studio, joining me is WMNF's somewhat, kind of, fairly, I don't know if I get to call you new anymore, Development Director Sherry Akram. Welcome to the airwaves.
Thank you
for coming in. I didn't just ask you in so we could talk about chocolate, but we can talk about chocolate.
So we're doing dark all day.
Dark all day. I know. We should get that on our t-shirts. Maybe I'll submit a t-shirt design, WMNF, dark all day. But you're here because WMNF is doing a t-shirt contest.
That's right.
It's kind of exciting.
Yes, totally.
And these are t-shirts that are for, like, when we do t-shirts for the drives or just general t-shirts when we feel like popping out a t-shirt.
Well, WMNF t-shirts really are kind of a culture around here.
They are.
Yeah. So, the idea behind all of that was that we really want to support local artists and promote local artists because WMNF is all about serving the community. So we wanted to create this competition where artists can submit their designs for WMNF fun drive t-shirts, and then we will pick basically our t-shirt designs for all of our fun drives from this artist selection.
That's great. We started a couple years ago. We had some local artists do t-shirts. Todd Bates did one, and I just blanked out on everybody else's name, even though I read them all this morning. And it was really cool, and they're some of my favorite t-shirts. So if people go, they go online to WMNF .org, and then they can find out more, like, what's the best way for someone to find out more information about it?
Well, the best way is you can email me, which is sherry@wmnf.org, sherry@wmnf.org. But it is on our website, it's on our Facebook, it's on our Instagram page as well. And the deadline is 4/15. So it is coming up,
right.
And then
not 4:15 p.m., but April 15th.
April 15th.
Just like think taxes and t-shirt, like way more fun to do t-shirts and taxes. I'm guessing.
Well, there you go. Well, maybe if your t-shirt design gets picked, you'll have some money to pay the taxes.
That's right, or you'll have to pay taxes on it or something. So, is there anything that any requirements for the design? Like, what are the specs?
Yes. So we ask that the design is 4 colors or less. You can have your name on it, you know, your artist signature on the t-shirt.
But it can't be like the biggest thing in the world.
No. There's no required theme, but we do have winter, summer, and fall fun drives. So if anybody wanted to use that, as a guideline, they certainly could.
Do they need to say WMNF on it?
So we'll add the logo after the fact.
But what if it's not a logo? Like if it has like, I mean, I would imagine that you want a t-shirt that is somehow WMNF-y, not just a t-shirt.
That's right.
So someone has to, is it Florida residents only?
Yes.
So, okay. So it's you lovely listeners. I know we have listeners in other countries and other places, but you lovely Florida listeners, this is for you. And so be a WMNFer. Like, listen, if you're not 100% sure, listen to WMNF or find out what you love about WMNF. I would believe that it probably has to be positive about WMNF. I'm just guessing.
Do we have to say that?
Yes. Yes, we do. Because there's so many different styles, there's like graphic, all that. So this is just for the front of a t-shirt, or is it front and back or whatever somebody comes
it's
up with?
It's really open, Joellen. I totally believe in allowing people to express their creativity and what they want to come up with.
I love that. Well, thank you so much. It's very exciting. So again, Sherry's email is Shari, Sherry. At WMNF.org, and you can go online, and we have it posted on the Art in Your Ear Facebook page, and it'll be posted up on the Art in Your Ear page a little bit later today if you want to get more information. And Sherry's email is in the post, so don't you worry. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome
pleasure.
To Art in Your Ear. All right, we're going to kick you out now. No, don't worry, you're off. Thank you, dear. I just want to let you know real quick some other things that are going around town before we run out of time. Going on, again, we're back at the studio at 620. As I said, they've got a ton of stuff going on this weekend. And there was one thing on here that I wanted to make sure I told you about. There's a dance thing. Dance Break Live, and it is called The Creation Creatives Behind a Dance Theory, and that's hosted by Project Alchemy, and that is tonight, 7 p.m. at the studio at 620. 620 is located at 620 First Avenue South in beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. Something else that hopefully will be either next Friday or the Friday after, we're going to be speaking with Kirk Kiwang, who had a show to open up just last night at Gallery 221 on HCC campus. Ah, oh, so cool. His work is gorgeous. So I'm hoping that he comes in if you want to see the show before he talks about it. It's a really interesting sort of way that that an artist can show both the history and future of a single piece. It's really amazing. And that is artist Kirk Kiwang. It's at Hillsborough Community College, Gallery 221, which is on the Dale Mabry campus. And so good. The show is called, I guess I should tell you the name of the show, is called Snow in September. That would be helpful. And then, do I have time for anything else? Oh, yeah. I want to mention that the Think Tank Theater Company, they have their Young Artists Ensemble Company, and they are starting their apprentice program for 2023-2024, and they have auditions coming up. If you want more information, if you have a young person who is interested in being part of an ensemble program, a theater program, look up Think Tank. It's Think Tank TYA.org, thinktanktya.org. And of course, all this information, if it's not already up on our socials and page on WMNF, will be. All right, that's it. We're out of time. And you heard, of course, that about the t-shirts. And then we're going to go out with my favorite Beatles cover. And stay tuned. E-Love is in the studio getting ready to give you a beautiful global electronica show that will make you very, very happy and make your weekend kick off with all good things. Thank you so much for listening to Art in Your Ear. Thank you so much for listening to WMNF. WMNF Tampa, best little station in the nation. I'm so grateful that you are out there supporting this wonderful, wonderful resource. I hope to see you at either the Beatles tribute, or remember, we've got Tropical Heat Wave coming up and all sorts of other fun things. Right now, we're going to go out of Art in Your Ear with The Jam and Your Bird Can Sing here on WMNF 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa.
You don't get me. From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst.
An attorney for former President Trump is at the federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. to appear before a grand jury. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports the case centers around the possibility